So, we're in studio.
We are.
With the guest, Ellen.
With George Salikas.
That's correct. Hi, everybody.
Hi. George, I'm so glad you could come in today. As I told you, I think, earlier, that I've been looking at and trying to meet as many new business people as I can in town and talk to them about why they came here, and I'm really curious to know that, among other things. So tell us about what you're trying to do with, I know the name of the organization is Inky Editions.
Yes.
So tell us all about it.
Okay, well, I moved to Hudson a little over a year ago, and I didn't have any specific purpose in mind other than continuing what I was doing in New York City, which is doing art and trying to submit to galleries, etc. However, I'm doing a lot of printmaking the last couple of years. And
printmaking?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Etchings, monotypes. And when I moved to Hudson, I couldn't find a place to do my prints that I was doing in the city. So I thought about buying an intaglio press and doing it in my studio. But one thing led to another, and when I found a space, I decided to create a community around that concept. Pretty much like the print shops that I know in the city. Blackburn Print Shop, the Lower East Side Print Shop, Manhattan Graphics, which I worked with 2 years ago. The studio is an open access studio, which means artists can come and rent time and they can do their prints. And if they don't know the specific technique, they can take a workshop on it. Etching, aquatint, monotype, etc.
And all these print workshops in New York City, they operate the same way? It's kind of a collective that uses them? Or?
That's correct. It's what's called open access, you know, or
open
community.
Access.
Open access is a word that is being used more often lately.
But, mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, and you're in the LB building down on the waterfront, right?
That's where I am, yes. I rented 5,000 square feet, and it took me a little over a year to reconstruct it because it's basically raw industrial space, and I wanted us to have our own entrance and natural light, so it took much longer than I thought. I thought it was going to take me 2 to 3 months for construction, but it took a little over a year. So eventually we opened, as you know, last Saturday.
Right. And how was the opening?
Oh, the opening was beyond any expectations. I never expected to see so many people.
Wow.
Some of them I knew, some of them I don't know where they came from, but I, you know.
Don't mind it, right?
I don't mind it, yeah. And as
all roads lead to Hudson.
They do. You know, and I did a lot of publicity the way I know how to, and
well, it worked.
Word of mouth, I guess, and just
cool.
Like with everything else, it always works with a lot of different sources.
Right. And the exhibition is Richard Siegelman, is that how you pronounce his name?
Yes, Siegelman.
Siegelman.
Is an artist who lives in Woodstock and also in Florida. He had a 50-year-old career. He's a master watercolorist and printmaker. And you should come and see his monotypes. They're amazing. And we also have his latest book that came out, a monograph of black and white monotypes. And yeah, you should come down and check it out.
Well, I did have a peek at it today, so it's impressive, I have to say. The LB Factory, for those who may not know, has these enormously high ceilings. I guess you could put a second floor in. They're that big.
Right.
But, I mean, that tall. How tall are the ceilings at the moment in your space?
They're 20 feet high.
Yeah.
Wow.
And how is that for heating and cooling?
Well, you know, I learn things by doing. What mm-hmm. did I know about construction? Not much. But as I was doing it, I tried different things. And we have two heaters, and I bought ceiling fans. that, as you know, as you may know, they keep pushing the heat down, and it works very well in the winter. Actually, it's much better in the winter than in the summer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it looks like it would be cold. It's so
The rest of the tenants complain, and they come to my space, and they ask me, how did you do that?
Are there other organizations like yours involving artists that are in the building?
Not that I know of. They're individual artists. Chris Perry, who does large metal sculptures. No, I'm the only one, I guess, of this type in Hudson at this point.
But it's interesting because I haven't heard of any other print workshops around.
Right.
So I think you might become a very popular spot.
I hope so. I mean, I opened it for myself so I can do my prints, but also for other printmakers to do the same thing. The closest places would be universities, like Skidmore College has a print shop, which I visited. Also in Western Massachusetts, there's another one, but it's an hour and a half away from here. So
Bard might have one, Bard College or
Bard College
New Pulse, the State University of New
Pulse.
If
you want to do it on a daily basis, especially in the wintertime, you know, it's not realistic. So
right.
Hopefully we'll find all these printmakers in the area.
And are you going to continue to do exhibitions in the space?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I already have some planned, mostly from curators that, from the city or from artists that I knew from the city that are interested in exhibiting in such, you know, large space, or a large industrial space. We don't have this in the city.
No, it's too expensive to have that amount of space in the city.
Definitely, yes.
Right. And where are you living here?
I live on Warren Street. I rent a place on the 600 block.
Wow.
So I'm...
It's Warren Street, I guess. Most parts of Warren Street are quiet at night, aren't they? I mean,
yeah, except for the loud motorcycles.
Oh, they love Warren Street. They go zooming up and down the hill.
Sometimes I look forward to the winter because there are no motorcycles.
I never thought of that as the problem.
Yeah.
It is on Warren.
Yeah. So what brought you, why did you come to Hudson? Why did you think Hudson was going to be the place?
Huh. Well, first I knew that I wanted to leave the city. I was affected by Sandy back in 2012. Mm. I was displaced from my place for 6 months.
Where were you living at the time?
In Long Island City, which is in Queens. Mm-hmm. And we got flooded and the building got damaged for 6 months.
Wow.
So, and also a lot of other things have changed in the city. You know, the art community that I'm trying to create here... It doesn't exist anymore in the city. It's a different time. Maybe in the 60s or 70s, that type of community in the village was existing. And I, in a way, I'm trying to have some of that here.
Didn't there used to be a place in the city called the Cedar Tavern, was it? There was a place where visual artists especially used to hang out.
What was, is that in the village or?
In the village, around the time you're talking about, 60s and 70s.
Yeah. Oh, in any case, the city has changed a lot. And, you know, since the Bloomberg era, condominium towers everywhere, and even Long Island City. So the motivation for me to leave the city was started with Sandy being affected. And then I was looking for places... Not too far from New York City because we all love the city.
Right.
So I knew nothing about Hudson. I was looking around. I heard of Catskills and artists moving into the Catskill area and the upstate. But that was all abstract to me. What particular place do they move to? So Hudson having a train station helps. And then I Googled it and I started looking at different... things that take place here, Basilica Hudson, Helsinki, and all the rest. So I took a trip here for a day or two, and then I came back again for another month, and I started planting the idea about moving here, and it all happened within 4 months.
Hmm.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, it is. Things are happening in the Catskills, too.
It's not the same as Hudson.
Well, Hudson is a city.
Right.
You know, people forget that about it. I think it makes a big difference.
It does.
It's not a town. It's not a village. It has an urban feel to it in a nice way. But
I totally agree with
urban. You.
That's why I didn't get sort of a culture shock, because I thought that I was moving to the country. And mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in the city, and so it was an easy transition.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I had the same experience, and I love the fact that it's a city. And I also love the fact that I can walk. Of course, I go in every place in my car now, but I moved here because I could walk. I'm within walking distance of the train station,
yes,
the post office, the drugstore, everything except the grocery store, of course, which is outside of
that's town. That's what we like here. And, you know, the first couple of months when I didn't have a car, it was a problem. But otherwise, just for the same reasons that you mentioned, the post office, the train station, and it's the right scale, you know, seven, eight, mm-hmm. eight blocks. It's not too big and it's not too small. It's the right scale.
Well, I'm glad you're here. I think a printmaking shop is a great idea for Hudson. I think there will be a lot of people flocking to learn how to make prints from you.
I hope so. And we have actually planned a series of workshops for the fall.
Oh, great.
And our first workshop will be this coming Saturday, the 19th, between 2 and 5. And it's called Drawing for Printmaking. So we start from the beginning. People that like to draw will come to the studio, and they will start drawing, but also we will involve some printmaking. It's a three-hour class. It's been taught by Beth Phelan, who is an excellent artist and educator. And I think people will have a good time, and if they haven't done printmaking, they will get the idea of what printmaking is about.
It seems to me, when I was a kid in school, we used to make prints out of, we would cut a potato and carve a potato in relief and make little prints out of it. isn't quite the same thing.
But
it was teaching printmaking.
A different genre.
Yes,
but
that's the magic of it, because you can get objects. We'll be having a woodblock cut class, which is similar to the example that
you
see.
It's not that far off.
Yeah, you cut and you curve through an object, and you can make an image out of it. So that's the magic of the print.
You just have to make everything backwards, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you should, when you write text, you should remember that it's the reverse.
Mm. So, well, I think this is really exciting, and I look forward to seeing what happens with the rest of the waterfront down there. There's, you know, we're always talking about the development of the waterfront. You're on the opposite side of the tracks from the waterfront, but certainly affected by it. So,
right,
great. So, welcome to Hudson.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
You've been here a while, so it's a little delayed, but good luck with all of this.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Ellen.
And thanks for coming in.
Indeed. Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, and thank you for the interview.
Okay. Keep us informed about what's happening there.
Of course, and come back.
Yeah, I was going to say, if people want to find more information about Inky Editions,
yes,
they can email us at info@inkyeditions.com. And we also have a Facebook page that has been updated daily, and they can see pictures of the grand opening and the other artists that are participating with their workshops. And it's facebook.com/inkyeditions.
That's Inky Editions. and every time I look at it, I think of there is some, it could be the New York, no, it had to be a newspaper that said, no inky fingers.
Yes.
Because they were trying to sell people to go online and read the paper instead of holding it in their hands. But you're all for ink, so
this is the
you
raw
need ink.
The raw material, the raw substance of printmaking. That's why we named the shop like that.
Right. Great. Okay. Well, thanks for coming in.
Well, thank you, Ellen.